Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram. Scott, can we make our Browns games only two quarters long? Can we stop everything at halftime and call it quits at that time?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's a good idea, but I don't think the league's going to go for that.
Yeah, well, yeah, they got enough other rules they got to worry about as well. 0-8. I'm choking while I'm saying that as well. We thought the Jets game was the game that we were going to get our victory in. What happened here?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. You know, we knew the Browns were going to be bad. We just didn't think they were going to lose the first eight. I mean, you hope they wouldn't lose the first eight. And then you keep looking at these possible wins. You know, maybe they can win at Tennessee. You know, maybe Cincinnati's struggling. The Jets are 2-5. And they can't. You just can't finish one, and you know, I think it's starting to get the team a little bit, you know. Now it's just hard to find when they might be able to win one. Doesn't mean they won't, you know, they could surprise Dallas on Sunday at home, but it looks worse and worse every time you kind of check to find a matchup for when they can get this win. And you know, they were losing last year, they're losing this year, and they're kind of getting in historic territory for worst in franchise history.
Scott, do you think against Dallas the Browns will stick with Josh McCown or maybe move back to Cody Kessler if he's healthy?
Yeah, Hugh Jackson didn't want to go there yesterday, which is understandable. But I would think that if Cody Kessler gets out of the concussion protocol this week by Wednesday, so he has a full week of practice, my thought is that they go back to Cody Kessler because he's a rookie. He's got a future. You want to evaluate him. You want to know what to do in next year's draft. And while I think that Josh, you can say that Josh McCown gives your team the best chance to win, having watched yesterday, that doesn't guarantee a win. And Josh made some big mistakes. And, you know, I'm not sure there's a giant difference between what Josh McCown does for you, what Cody Kessler does for you. So, therefore, you got to go with the young guy.
In the first half, Terrell Pryor seemed to have his way with Mr. Revis. In the second half, he wasn't a factor. What do you think happened there?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think part of it is Revis changed kind of how he was covering Terrell. You know, he said after the game that in the first half they came right after and they were picking on him, so he knew he had to make an adjustment. I'm not sure if they double-covered Terrell more or Revis played off him and gave him a bigger cushion so he couldn't, you know, make the deeper catches. But Hugh Jackson, the coach, said, you know, part of it was they had some opportunities and just couldn't get it to Terrell. And the one big play, and Josh McCown lamented this after the game, is one that got away and really changed the game, was in the third quarter. The Browns were down by one. And Terrell got by Revis down the right sideline. Josh kind of rolled right a little bit and put all he had into it. And Terrell couldn't catch up to the deep ball. Josh took responsibility, you know, says he overthrew him, and that's his fault. You know, if they connect on that deep ball, it's a whole different game. The Browns take the lead. They take back some momentum. So, you know, they didn't have the ball a ton in the second half because they got, you know, they punted. So, you know, it was kind of three and out, interception. So the opportunities were fewer for Terrell in the second half. But I also think that there's a kind of minor things that Terrell needs to get better at as he makes this adjustment to receiver. And one of those is playing four quarters, kind of like the team. He's had good spurts, but we've seen a couple times where he's disappeared in the second half, and this is one of them. If you're going to be a big-time elite receiver, you got to keep it up for the whole game.
Is that a mental or a physical thing?
You know what? I would say it's probably a combination of both. I think he's in great shape, so I don't think he's running out of gas. But maybe if the defense makes adjustments, then it's up to the player and the coaches to readjust. And, you know, if Revis is changing the way he covered him, they got to go back to the sideline and figure it out quicker. Okay, this is what we need to do now. And maybe the coaches will tell you, hey, we did it on that one big play, and that would have changed the whole game. They would have changed how they covered him. But that didn't happen, and therefore Terrell goes catchless, except for the meaningless two-pointer at the end of the game. It's just frustrating because just like Josh McCown had such a good first half, so did Terrell Pryor, and they couldn't sustain it, just like the defense couldn't sustain it. And there's many factors, but that's why he wound up losing the ballgame.
Well, you said the defensive word. What's happening with tackling? And I don't – is this a contagious type of a thing, or is it – I mean, how does that – what happened?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a whole lot of, you know, theories on that. They don't hit as much as they used to. Once you get into the season, you're barely in pads. It can only be once a week, and it can't even be the whole season once a week. You know, I get that, but there's also just teams that are good tackling teams. I think it comes down to the toughness of players. And I'm not saying the Browns players aren't tough, but they've shown that they're not great tacklers, at least across the board. You know, Ibrahim Campbell, the safety, second-year guy, was given the starting job at the beginning of the season. Kind of lost it. Now he's playing in a rotation. Missed two big tackles against Cincinnati. Missed another big one yesterday on the long touchdown run. And it just seemed to – it's okay if you miss one tackle. Somebody else can cover up for you. But when the defense misses two or three, that's when it becomes a huge play. And that's been the problem, that multiple guys are missing multiple tackles on a single play, and it winds up – those are the kind of back-breaking plays. You know, I don't know how you fix it during the season. And I think you just have to concentrate more. Maybe these guys aren't talented enough. But I thought that obviously missed tackles were an issue. But I also thought from a scheme perspective, the Jets made some adjustments at halftime and the Browns weren't quick enough or weren't able to adjust correspondingly. And, you know, talent's an issue. But if you play so well defensively for a half, you should be able to play better in the second half. And they couldn't get one stop. They gave up three huge touchdown drives to start that second half. And that's where the game flipped. I blame the defense more than the offense, and I pin a lot of it on coordinator Ray Horton.
Scott, you're right in today's Chronicle-Telegram that, well, of course, the trading deadline is tomorrow. You think the Browns will try to part with Josh Gordon. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, he voluntarily checked himself into inpatient rehab at the end of September, and now he's out. And the trade deadline's Tuesday. The Browns have said they're done with him. Now, if you're going to be done with him, if your choices are trade him or cut him, so it makes more sense to try to trade him, whatever you can get. If you've decided we're done with him no matter what, no matter what Josh says, no matter if he says he's clean, no matter if he says he wants to play with you, for you, if you've decided you're done with him, then you're better off trying to get a draft pick in return for giving up on him, whether that's a seventh-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and what I think it'll turn out to be is a conditional pick where, let's say he gets reinstated, then that becomes a seventh-round pick. Let's say he catches 50 balls, maybe he gets up to a fourth or fifth-round pick. There's a moving scale. I think you try to move him. I'm not guaranteeing a team will take him because they know the issues with Josh, and they know that the Browns will probably release him if they can't trade him, so why give up anything? But if I were the Browns, I'd be trying to get something in return for a guy with so much promise. You're allowed to trade a guy who's suspended because he's still suspended. So you're allowed to trade him. And the league has not said if they're going to reinstate him. They haven't said when they're going to decide if they're going to reinstate him. But the next moving deadline is Tuesday because that's when the NFL trade deadline is for this season.
Coach Hughes says the Browns will not trade Joe Thomas. What do you hear?
Yeah, I don't think they will. I kind of agree with Joe who said, I'd be surprised, but you never know. Hugh was so strong about it that the Browns would look, silly is not the right word, but I don't think they'd look great if they wound up trading him a week later. But that doesn't mean they won't. We all know that they're rebuilding. We know that they're trying to get younger. We know that they love draft picks. I'm just not sure you can get a first-round pick for Joe because, you know, he's 30, 31, and he doesn't practice much during the week because his knees and his back bug him. And he probably only wants to play for a couple more years. I'm not sure how great his value is. And if his value on the market's only a second-round pick, I personally don't think that's enough to trade a guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's still playing at a high level. He wants to be here, and he's great in your locker room.
Well, the value is sort of a sentimental value for the fans, for us. I'm looking at the story you talked about in the paper, 30th anniversary of the Jets. And the Browns, and Webster Slaughter says, never forget me because I'll never forget about you. And I'm thinking, most of what we see today, we're going to forget all about this stuff, I guess. So it was good to sort of look back at that. What was that ceremony like, or the fact that they were there at the game yesterday.
Yeah, well, first on the Joe Thomas thing, I think you're right. And when there's so few things to cling to with this new Browns regime and reincarnation, I think there is some value in sentimentality, and the analytics guys might argue with you. But if you got a Hall of Famer, why not keep the Hall of Famer that wants to stay for his whole career? As far as yesterday, it took me back to when I was about 13 years old. I love seeing those guys. Marty Schottenheimer, he's dealing with early onset Alzheimer's, but he still got it together, and he was great yesterday. He's talking to the crowd. The crowd went nuts. He's leading the Here We Go Brownies chant. It was just cool to see all those guys back together. Of course, Bernie gets the biggest cheer. So it's cool. At the same time, it's kind of sad to think that, you know, it's been 30 years since the Browns really kind of engaged this town in the last great period.
It almost seems like we're going to have to wait another 30 years. You know, this end does not seem in sight for this 0-8 team. But again, we're only halfway through the season, so maybe an 8-8 season is on the line starting next week. Let's get some mojo from the Cavs and the Indians and stick it into the Browns if we can possibly.
There you go. I would not count on that 8-8 season, though, if I were you.
Well, okay. Just let's look for one. Treat one win like the Super Bowl for us. Scott, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You can follow Scott Petrek in the Chronicle Telegram, also Twitter, @ScottPetrek. It is 8:52.